out my eye. Girl, I never loved one like you.
Man, oh man, you're my best friend. I scream it too. Nothing there.
Welcome one and all. Welcome to the Naked Football Show tonight on a very, very dry and a nice night. We're going to have a heat wave, according to Terry, who's joined us now. As I say, the guests are Mr. Terry Holden.
Good evening.
And Mr. Jerry Barker.
Hello.
Two old timers. I don't mean that in the historical sense. I mean because they've done this before, haven't you guys? But with three of us, I do think we probably do make up the oldest trio. So we can go back a long, long way. The bar at Manningtree. This is what we were talking about. This is much more important than football. The bar at Manningtree is wonderful, isn't it? The real ale bar.
It's all Green King nowadays.
Yeah, but it's still got guest ales, isn't it? Or
well, they all come from the Green King, really.
Yeah,
just
I know, but
names.
It's not IPA. Anyway, we all talk about football, don't we? Really? So do you want to... You were Phil, by the way, says hello for yesterday because you saw him at
the under
thing,
one.
And he said I don't want to go and talk to that guy. So can you say hello for me?
Right,
didn't really bless him. No, Phil says to say hello, Terry. Might as well. What did you make of it yesterday? The under 21s.
Well, the under 21s generally this season has been pretty disastrous. From the results and B from the entertainment point of view. Mm. I think it was the first home win. Yeah, yesterday in the penultimate home game. They started off quite lively, and then it sort of fizzled out a bit, and then they sort of livened up towards the end. It was one or two. Ebanks Blake scored a very good goal.
Crack, have I heard, yeah.
Yeah, I was quite impressed in the first half with that lad Bishop.
Yeah, Phil, it was mentioned on Those Other Days, wasn't it? He saw
some surging runs in the first half.
Yeah.
Second half was, well, I think we've run that puff a bit, I think. But. Wow. It was one of their better games.
Mm.
But you do wonder really what the point of the whole under-21s is. I mean.
Well, reading Mr. MM's comments, he's not too impressed with the whole thing, is he? The whole setup.
I think that's a shame they've done away with the, what was the old combination league, the reserves and whatever. Don't you? I really do. I think it served more purpose than...
Well, I think the main cause of the problem to start with was the teams in the Midlands who didn't want to play. They just wanted to play behind doors friendlies against each other. Which, again, it's nothing competitive.
No.
I don't quite see how, if you want to keep a match, this is why everybody's going out on loan so much.
Yes.
And this is where Mr. McCarthy's worried about them, the...
Stopping.
Was it UEFA or FIFA or something, stopping that business at this stage of the season. Is that, how do you keep people fit? You can only play three over... age in the under-21s, plus the goalkeeper. Apart from sending them out on loan, how do you keep match fit?
Or I suppose the other thing is about feeder clubs, isn't it?
Well, yes, that's the other thing that's going on.
Well,
I don't really approve of them, but there we are.
No, but I mean, that's the other, I suppose, scenario.
We have a fairly early email.
The
only reason I'm going into this straight away is because it's relevant to what you were talking about, young Terence. This is from Izzy. What do you and the team think about the need to get players fit? There you go. Couldn't have planned that email better, could you? Yeah. There seems to be a real need with players who have been out of the first team for a while and who need to get back to match fitness. Mick McCarthy has complained about how the under-21s doesn't help because he can only play three overage players. Exactly what Mr. Terence has just been saying. With some, he's resorted to send them out on loan to play in other leagues, but that means that they're then not available for the first team. And have we actually seen anybody come back from loan and play for the first team? Probably not this year, have we?
I don't think so. Mm.
It seems to me this could be a real stumbling block because A, we've got players who are injured who will need to get back to match fitness, and B, with the academy coming online and the fair play cash limits, we'll need to bring young players through from the under-21s to the first team. If we're not careful, we'll have a load of players but only 9 or 10 fit enough to play the full 90 minutes for the first team. Thanks, Izzy, for that. What do you make of that?
Well,
I think that's probably half the thing Mick McCarthy's talking about, isn't he?
I still think it'd be better if they had a reserve team playing competitive matches.
Yes, I mean you see
every
that
week
on,
home
if
and
they
away.
Come on the mat on the pitch, you know, come off the subs bench in the second half.
Yes,
say after 60 minutes, sort of thing. Well, if they're not, I mean, you could say they're fit. Obviously, they're fit. They're training and that sort of thing, but they're not sort of match fit.
No,
and it takes time to get into the pace of the game and thing. And so you wonder why some of these subs come on, like people like Wordsworth occasionally, sort of thing, and they look as if, well, they're not doing much and they're drifting around and we haven't touched the ball much, this sort of thing. And it's partly, I think, because they can't, you know, they've got to adjust immediately to be playing at 100 miles an hour, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so, well, the present setup is a disaster. Fair play league thing, I think it's going to be real interesting because I don't honestly think it'll ever work. So
no, I don't really understand it, but then I don't understand many things in life.
But the point is, the accountants will understand it, and there'll be people who'll be cooking the books and goodness what else. Mm. And after, I can see after 4 years, half the teams will be with parachute money in the division, well, and half without. Mm. How do you have a fair play league?
Well, that was what I was going to come on to, true, the parachute payments. Yeah. How does that work with the fair play? Because, you know, you'll have...
You've already
that,
got some money in your hand.
Yeah, because you'll have the haves and the have-nots, won't you, on the other hand. So I don't understand how that's fair. Mm.
We need someone who knows. Chris, if you're listening, Chris is usually good at this. Work. Yeah, if anyone knows, if you want to email in, if you try and make it as pricey as best you can.
There was a phrase, I think, used in one of the, I can't remember if it was Laurel Hardy, the two joint managing directors or something. He said something about they were going to stick to the thing.
Yes.
And then he mentioned something about, of course, you know, smooth the accountancy or something like that, some sort of phrase. And I thought, well, this is it. You know, some clubs will be smoothing their accounts by jiggling rounds and taking things off for, you know. I mean, it'll never work.
No, I can't. Mind you, I'm...
When does it have to be...
Well, it starts,
settled,
I think, next season. Yeah, but then, didn't they say... I vaguely remember reading somewhere about the first two seasons, it was sort of, my trial run. No actual penalties or something. No. You can get deducted points or whatever for the first 2 years. So that gives you another 2 years to mess about. And so what do you... I miss why teams, I suspect some of them are throwing money like mad at it now.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, I suppose that's a chance you take.
Well, it's a gamble.
And you always have... You know,
but they all say
like
you're supposed to speculate to accumulate.
Yeah.
So,
but then again, if everybody speculated, they wouldn't accumulate, would they?
No.
And the bookies would all be busted.
Yeah.
We'll get on to starving children next. Someone did, you know, if you have enough money to feed the world and everyone is as rich, then the whole thing falls apart. I'm not sure how that works, but still. What do you make of the football then, Saturday?
Do you want to
go first?
Right. Well, I thought it ended up, I mean, the first half I thought was very disappointing, shall we say. And then
it wasn't as disappointing as Blackpool, I didn't think.
No, absolutely not. But and then, you know, it seemed to liven up a bit more in the second half. But to be fair, I don't think Dean Gherkin had a save to make, did he, in the whole of the match? Yes, they had a couple of glaring misses, Birmingham, didn't they?
Mm.
But other than that, I mean, their keeper saved a couple. But and then we'll get on to the Paul Taylor thing, because everybody was talking about him. and then I thought the first half, he was okay. But the second half, he seemed to get better to me as the match wore on. And then he sort of came alive in the last sort of half an hour, I suppose, is the best way I thought. And, you know, he does look to go forward and he does excite, I suppose.
But we've had this for the last few weeks about Paul Taylor. And I never really understood. I mean, he was man of the match against QPR and then you don't see him. I just don't understand.
He wouldn't have played on Saturday.
That's someone pointed that out. I don't know whether it's on Those Are the Days, whoever you are, if you're listening, well done, or on Twitter, but... They said, you know, it's a disgrace that you get a player on loan and then he immediately goes in front of a player who costs 1.5 million, plus you're having to pay him a hefty salary, I imagine, and who's quite a talented player. That just seems... That must... You know, if there's an unsettlement in the ranks, you can understand it if that happens. Unfortunately, he was injured.
But you get this funny thing. We get some players that on loan who sort of then become sort of regular fixtures of the loan team, you know, straight away, with no apparent reason. They didn't seem to be any better than the previous ones, but and you'll get others where we get on loan and then we never see. I mean, what's his name from Middlesbrough?
Fraser Richardson.
I mean, we've barely seen him.
I've seen him in Starbucks.
He played in the
under 21s
yesterday, but I mean, he played centre half yesterday.
How was he? Was he good?
he didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't stand out.
No.
But, I mean, I can sort of semi-understand him not playing because the back four seem to be quite settled, don't they?
Yeah, so why did we get him then?
Well, yeah, but
I suppose it's cover, isn't it?
It's cover, I think. That's basically what it was.
I suppose it's sod's law, isn't it? If you hadn't got anyone suddenly you'd get an injury, wouldn't you?
And then if you have a chance of getting somebody you rate, which obviously
he does,
he's rated, so you think to yourself, well...
Well, he's a right back, isn't he?
Yes. Well, here he is, right.
Yeah, and we haven't had a right back for years.
No.
this is peculiar. But we had a right back which we sent out on loan,
mm.
and then we get another right back in on loan who we don't play.
Mm. It is weird.
So going back to Saturday, I mean, overall, that was, I think we deserved to win. But
yeah, they were two poor old teams.
Really, yes, they weren't.
And it's the trouble most weeks when you go down there and you think, oh, too hot. I mean, none of these teams, you look at it and you think, they don't deserve to be in the Premiership.
No.
No, I mean, how many teams can you say you've seen who are really, really
good? No, but you see, the only teams that we've seen that have shown a bit of class, sort of thing,
yes.
are beaten us. Mm.
Yes,
I suspect that's what will happen with Wigan if we're not careful.
Mm. Yes.
That's a big game.
Leicester
were really, really good. I thought QPR were really good, although they've gone off the boil, haven't they? But other than that, I haven't seen anybody.
Well, Burnley,
really,
I think, were.
But Burnley were.
They struggled a bit to beat us, but yes. I think they just got that touch of class.
Well, they've got
Without McGoldrick, we haven't got any class, you see. This is the
I think there's an opportunity for Taylor. I think he could fill McGoldrick's shoes. I'm not saying he's another McGoldrick, but certainly, you know, he causes.
Well, some
big
of his play is similar as much as he. Take people on in the box,
he'll have a shot, and he'll have a go. And he bought. I mean, he got the defense.
He used to go to the goal.
Exactly, yes, that's what I was going to say. He stopped the ball, let the defense go one way, and gave it to Nuba.
But if that had been anybody else there, Skews, Tab, Heim, or whatever sort of thing, they would have held that ball there. And thought, what do I do? I'll pass it back to the next nearest man.
Yep.
He'll turn around and pass back to Tommy Smith on the halfway line. Yep. Tommy Smith will put it back to the goalkeeper. Yeah. And we'd find ourselves back with him.
Yeah,
he was prepared to try something.
Absolutely.
And not always going to work. But that's what the team needs. I mean, McCarthy calls him a maverick or something like that. But
that's what you need.
When you're a stolid, sort of, you know, an uninteresting team, really, you need a maverick to.
Well, you do.
If it's only to get people through the gates.
Mm. I agree. I don't know anyone that doesn't. Everyone I know rates him very highly, and it's just. Weird.
And again, you say when he took time to think me, but again, you see, he hadn't been playing.
No.
Therefore, again, you know, you get the pace of the game, get the settle in, and I expect he got a bit nervous because he knows McCarthy doesn't really, you know, rate him, he's not going to play him. So it's only when he really got his confidence going in the second half.
He was a bit like Wordsworth the other week. He struggled early on, didn't he?
Mm.
And then gradually got to the pace of the game and started to look good. Then he got taken off, didn't he? But yeah. It's funny. And the thing is, whether he'll play Taylor and this new guy, Iniesta.
I mean, what format? But presumably he was going to play 4-4-2, wasn't he, on Saturday?
He was going to play the new guy.
My
forward,
theory
wide.
Was that he was going to play exactly the way they started. And I reckon they practiced that during the week or when the new guy got here. And then when he got injured. He then put Taylor in the same
but isn't
position.
But isn't he a midfielder, though?
Well, he is, and
he doesn't score goals.
But I think he's more of a forward.
Yeah, but he doesn't score goals, though. And our midfield is woeful at scoring goals.
And that's my theory. I reckon they were going to play the exact 4-3-3.
No, I don't think so. I think they were going to play 4-4-2. Just with Nuble and Murphy up front.
Talking of Nuble, I was actually quite impressed with him.
Have we heard any more about his
injury? Well, it was a hamstring, wasn't it? But whether that's bad.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I keep looking and I haven't seen anything.
The thing is with those, I mean, it didn't look that serious, but they do seem to last a couple of weeks, don't they, hamstrings? So.
He didn't seem limping. Hamstrings, they usually limp off.
I know. Hats off to him, he didn't. You know, he obviously knew there was something wrong. I mean, I thought he played really well.
Yeah, he played quite well.
He had one of his better games. I can't say I'm a great fan of him, but I mean, he's enthusiastic.
Once
again, he's still young, isn't he? You know, I think we forget sometimes, and people do forget how young some of these players are.
they've been about a bit and they're picking up good money. Mm. So, well, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but it's still.
I don't know. Why are we paying them good money if they're only youngsters and this sort of thing? Mm. They should be on bottom dollar, not top dollar.
Mm.
Well, yeah, I suppose we could argue about salaries and all sorts of that until the cows come home, but you're never going to,
That may be one of the problems in some of these youngsters. They get so much money early on that they think, oh, I've arrived now. I haven't got to sort of work so hard now.
Yeah, but if you don't play it, what are you going to end up with?
Well, this is it. This is the problem where the players now run the whole show, don't they? Yeah. I mean, every time they have more and more TV money and everything, it all goes straight into the players' pockets, isn't it?
Yeah, no. I think, back to Taylor, I think he could have gained us another few points recently if he'd brought him on as sub even. You know, Leeds away, they looked really shaky at the back, and he brings Nubel on, and then we carried on Hoiking, but I think Taylor ran at them. Blackpool, perfect time to bring him on, yeah. I thought. Wasn't even on the bench then, was he?
Probably not, I can't remember.
Just unbelievable, I just don't know.
Well, there's obviously some.
I'm not sure. You see, why? I mean, okay, last week he wasn't on the bench, but I mean, up until then he's been on the bench. So surely, if there's something disciplinary problem, he wouldn't even put him on the bench, would he?
Well,
so.
I don't think that's that. What I think did you hear Mick McCarthy's interview when he was asked about Taylor?
Well, he said it's good to see him tracking back
and do the.
The unsexy stuff,
whatever way that was put. So, obviously, there is something there for him to say that, isn't there?
Possibly, but.
So, I don't.
Yeah, but if you have. I can understand the logic behind that, but on the other hand, sometimes you have to gamble a bit and. Go on, we've got a very unsexy team that we're quite good at tracking back and being solid at the back thing, but are not providing a great deal of entertainment and are not really looking as they're going to win that many games.
Can you imagine what Robson would have done with Murren and Tyson if it was all to do with tracking back? Yeah. They'd all be dropped every week.
It depends on the players you've got round.
Exactly. Well, exactly. I mean, this is what I was going to go to. So you can only play a certain way if you've got...
The players.
Those players.
Mm.
This is why I'm not fussed about us getting in the playoffs this season or not. I think it'd be a disaster from the football point of view, not from the financial point of view, but from the football point of view, getting in the playoffs and even win playoffs. I think it would just be, footballing-wise, a disaster for us. Because there's no way that we're going to even remotely survive in the Premiership next season on that. But having stabilised the team last year...
Mm.
Now we've got a solid base, or relatively solid base sort of thing, what I'm looking for is next season move forward with a spark, a bit more inspiration, a bit more, pizzazz about the thing, because I don't think you could ever get promotion with our, present sort of format style of play. No. You can be up there, on the fringes and that sort of thing, but I don't think you can ever get promotion.
No.
Because we don't, we don't create enough chances from midfield or goals from midfield.
Well, I think that is the problem area, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what I want to see fixed for next season. I'm not worried about this season.
I mean, what we want is pace, isn't it?
Mm.
We lack pace.
They say this midfield bloke who came on got pace.
That's right.
We've got Hunt, I suppose, and then obviously Taylor's got pace, but I mean, whether he's going to play him, we don't know. Yeah. We got an email from Raimondo. Who says, and this is actually relevant again to what we've just been talking about, I think next week is our most crucial week of the season. Wigan do not play again until next Wednesday night. And if we win our next two games, quite possibly, if Stubborn Mick picks the right team, i.e. no tab, and there's no commas here, Ray, so I'm not sure what this means. Got no tab and Williams and Taylor together. I'm guessing he means no tab, comma, and Williams and Taylor together, possibly. We'll go above them. And who is their next game? Ipswich Town at Portman Road. That's Wigan.
They play next Wednesday, though.
Yeah, they don't play till next Wednesday.
Who do they play? That's the question.
I don't know. He hasn't told us. along with this, all our rivals are playing each other, so we could end up with three victories, well in the top six, and Mick must go for it. Also, if you could mention the new banners at the back of the Ramsey stand, which crackpot imbecile organised this, you need a telescope and binoculars to see them. Sums up how the club is being run at the moment. Well, Ray's not very happy. Well, I noticed the banners. I mean, everyone, by all accounts, whoever saw the, I can't remember who did it, but they're very nice, very good banners, and they look nice because I've seen pictures of them. But yeah, when I got to the ground, I couldn't see them. They were stuck right at the very back of what's it called now? The, not the Green King stand.
The Churchman's stand.
Alf Ramsey. Yeah, Churchman's.
Yeah,
Churchman's.
And, well, when you say right at the back, you mean right at the back of the top tier?
I'm not sure.
Are they above? Because I.
Well, I've got a roof on my, over me. I can't see that high. No. I mean, I don't know why they don't just do it over the North Stand. What are these banners supposed to say then? Oh, there's just pictures of Robson Ramsey and Burley and stuff. And then another one with the players. Yeah, another one with three managers and a lot of players.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Well, to show that we're the. We're
show how things have how things have gone downhill since.
show that those were the days.
Yes.
Says plugging Phil's. website for him, but yeah, no, I thought they would just have the do what they do, you know, abroad and have the big flag going above everyone's head and something like that. But very strange. So no, you couldn't see them. So maybe the club could look at that, or you know, maybe hang them from the roof or something.
Well, I'm sure Ray was going to say you can hang a few players from the roof.
Thank you for that, Ray.
A few seasons ago, they used to pass.
Yeah, they did. They did. They had it. I don't know what happened to that.
No, I don't know what happened to that.
Terry probably nicked it. No, I don't know. No, that is a good point, actually, Ray, because I don't know. I couldn't see it.
No, I never know.
Apparently, they are really good.
And I'm opposite. I'm in the... Well, I still call it the North Stand.
Yeah, that's hard, isn't it?
So I was looking up, and I can't say I noticed them either.
No?
Oh, well. Mind you, I can hardly see.
Well, you are getting on a bit later.
Quite fortunate at the time.
Talking of North Stand, safe standing came into the thing again this week. What are your views on that, guys?
I saw that.
Are you actually old? Can you actually stand still, you, Gerald?
Still stand. We still stand.
Can you? Oh, here we go. Bless you. And with all those youngsters around you.
With even those youngsters, they do help me up. But I think with standing like that, with those seats as they are...
No, that's not good.
And that is... unsafe, really, because no, I've pitched forward before and the seat is broken, and you've seen that when they pitch forward, and that is dangerous. Whereas this standing they're proposing,
is
you have your own, and you can put a seat down, can't you?
They're rail seats, they're called, aren't they?
Yes, and you have got the barrier in front, so you have got your own allocated space, which is far safer if you're going to stand than how it is at the moment.
Yep, absolutely.
So... I've nothing against that. I've nothing against it. I mean, I can remember the days, obviously, standing and going from the top, the top tier down to the bottom without your feet not touching the ground.
Yeah.
Once again, but the crowds were there, and you were just
squashed up.
Mm. Yeah, so I can understand the arguments against it as well, but. You know,
I think if you've got an allocated position.
Yes.
Oh,
hello. And
Madam Butterfly, anyone? That's my niece rung. Uh-huh. Niece, what are you doing ringing at this time?
And you know, it's got to be safer anyway if you've got your allocated space, hasn't it?
Mm. Oh yeah. Well, they look so. I mean, they have them in Germany, don't they? Rail seats and things. And
but I'm not sure about whether the capacity would go down. Or not, because I know I'm saying, but if you think when you're sitting down, it seems as if I saw a bit Peterborough, hadn't they? Got they were talking about it on.
Well, they showed the rail seats.
One of those showed the rail seat, and they, to me, I don't know. It's just might have been, but they looked a bit wider to me. So I'm not really sure.
In Germany, the gate always goes down when they have European games because they have to have small seater in the
games.
So the capacity goes down, I think.
It does. Well, I'm not absolutely sure, but I've got the impression.
Well, that's why you get more in when there's a standing on the
although
league
that,
game.
Although that wouldn't make sense with these rail seats.
I don't know, but I still vaguely remember reading
that. And that was where I was coming from. I wonder whether capacities will go down in that particular stand. They do that. But I don't. It was just my thoughts.
Well, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, Aston Villa seem to be quite keen to trial it, don't they, in the Premier League? Mm. And I wouldn't have thought any of the Premier League teams were eager to reduce their capacity. So I think it probably makes a great deal of difference on the capacity.
No, I agree. I agree. We've got two games coming up, so you're going to have to be quite quick on your predictions. We have Middlesbrough away, and yeah, I know it's flown past when you're enjoying yourself, Terence, when you're Jerry, when you're being abused. You've got Middlesbrough and Yeovil both away. Nice, close games.
Close games for anybody who wants to travel.
I think Mick's got his excuse in early for that one. I think he's mentioned that a couple of times. Quick.
Well, I think hopefully I'll be two draws. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah?
Well, Middlesbrough's got 0-0 written all over it.
Yes, I was going to say 0-0 Middlesbrough.
And Yeovil, they're a funny team, Yeovil. Yes. I mean, they quite often win and then lose in the last 10 minutes. So I would hopefully get a 2-1 victory after being 1-0 down, I suspect.
Hopefully we ought to beat Yeovil, but I've just got this feeling there'll be two draws. But
if he doesn't go too careful at Yeovil, can be too careful, Mr.
And what about you, Mr. B? What was your prediction?
Well, I'm going to Yeovil. I'm not going to Middlesbrough. It's just too much. It's a bridge too far.
Yes.
So I'm going to go to Yeovil. I've never been there.
No.
It's a bit of a hike, apparently. About 2 miles from the station to the town, then another 3 miles the other side or something.
Two stations in the town, aren't they? I don't know which station.
Yeah, but you can't use the other one unless you change. Well, you have to change, and it's all a bit messy.
So you're going on the chauffeur train, are you?
Yeah. I'm going to be Billy No, mate. I'll meet people there, but I'll take a picture of the empty seat like I always do, show that I've got lots of friends. So you're saying what? Are you saying 3 points, 4 points in
I'm
general?
I'm saying two draws.
Two draws. That's not going to be good enough, is it?
Yeah, I mean, really, a defeat and a win would be better in that way, really.
Yeah, you
get 3 points.
Yeah. I know.
I'd think a 0-0 away and a 2-1 victory away after being 1-0 down.
I'll go. Well, I think they've got to go for it, haven't they?
Yeah.
I would hope he does. I hope he just doesn't play careful. I'll go for a draw at Borough and a win at it's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen. Right, thanks. Till next week. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Terence. Until next week, do have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.